I thought maybe I would go back and do the momisms that we always do, but we did the first time, we did half of them. The next year we did the second half. Then we did Anita Renfro's version of momisms and decided, I think we've played that to death pretty much. So I went back trying to find some things that we could do to celebrate Mother's Day. And one was a list of quotes of different words of encouragement for mothers and things about mothers. The one begins by saying, a mother is a person who's seen there are only four pieces of pie for five people, promptly announces, you're on your own. I'm sorry. That she never cared for pie at all. She doesn't like pie. So, no matter how old a mother is, she watches her middle-aged children for signs of improvement. That used to be funny, but now that I'm past middle, you know, there's no hopes. We never know the love of a parent until we become parents ourselves. Never marry a man who hates his mother because he'll end up hating you. Good word. Anyone who doesn't miss the past has never had a mother. Of all the rights of women, the greatest is to be a mother. Men are what their mothers made them. Not true. Now, I love Webster and the dictionary that gives us understanding and interpretation of words, but I found that there is actually a mother's dictionary of meaning. Okay, so we'll look at a few of these. Feedback. The inevitable results when the baby doesn't appreciate strained carrots. Feedback. Full name. What you call your child when you're mad at him or her. Grandparents. The people who think your children are wonderful even though they're not sure that you're raising them right. I'll do that one again. I messed that up. The people who think your children are wonderful even though they're sure you're not raising them right. Hearsay. What toddlers do when anyone mutters a dirty word. Hearsay. Been there. I have to really watch those preachers' grandkids. Be careful what you say. That could affect your grandpa. Independent. How we want our children to be for as long as they do everything we say. Puddle, a small body of water that draws other small bodies wearing dry shoes into it. A show-off, a child who is more talented than yours. Sterilize, what you do, let's see, let me do it. What you do to your first baby's pacifier by boiling it, and you do to your last baby's pacifier by blowing on it and wiping it with saliva. I was a middle kid, I can testify. Top bunk, where you should never put a child wearing a Superman jammies. 2 minute warning. When the baby's face turns red and she begins to make those familiar grunting noises, 2 minute warning. Who done it? None of the kids that live in your house. Here's the story of a young boy who was sent to bed. Small boy is sent to bed by his mother. 5 minutes later. Mom, what? I'm thirsty. Can you bring me a glass of water? No, you had your chance. Lights out. 5 minutes later, Mom, what? I'm thirsty. Can I have a glass of water? I told you no. If you ask again, I'll have to spank you. 5 minutes later, Mom, what? When you come in to spank me, could you bring me a glass of water? Well, you bet they didn't get the spanking. Mother's Day's thoughts and quotes. The advice your son rejected is now being given by him to your grandson. Boy, and how true that is, isn't it? The ones that never listen, you go, how can you even say that with a straight face? Working mothers are the guinea pigs in a scientific experiment to show that sleep is not necessary to human life. Parents often talk about the younger generation as if they didn't have anything to do with it. Oh, yeah. things moms would never say. Again, this will be our last one, but things that moms would never say. How on earth can you see the TV by sitting so far back? Yeah, I used to skip school a lot too. Just leave all the lights on. It makes the house look more cheery. Let me smell that shirt. Yeah, it's good for another week. Go ahead and keep the stray dog, honey. I'd be glad to feed and walk it every day. Well, if Raul's mama says it's okay, then that's good enough for me. The curfew is just a general time to shoot for. It's not like I'm running a prison. Again, these are things moms don't say. I don't have a tissue with me. Just use your sleeve. That one actually takes me back into my childhood. Because we were having spaghetti one night at dinner when you had tablecloths on the table. And my dad, in jest, when I said I didn't have a napkin, said, wipe it on the tablecloth. And then I got in trouble for it. I don't understand that. He said, toss me a roll, and I tossed it. Got in trouble for it. Don't bother wearing a jacket. The wind chill is bound to improve. Things moms would never do. Well, we love you, moms. We love all the things that you say and the ways that you encourage us. Special day set aside just to let you know we love you. In fact, what I love in the Bible is that God loves all women. Moms, daughters, kids. You're all specially given by God because we men couldn't do it on our own. And loneliness is a terrible thing that we can enjoy each other. Today, though, we are looking at moms and selecting to and choosing to honor you in special ways. I looked through the scriptures, and you know there's some days of special occasion that we go to once a year, and we find it's a little challenging because there's not a lot of verses that are specific to that particular topic. So I wanted to find something different, and as I went through, I spent a good portion of the beginning of the week on Eunice and Lois, and then I went back. It looked so familiar. I looked back and saw that 2 years ago we spoke about Eunice and Lois, so decided we would change direction and found that there were two passages in particular that I've never yet preached on. One is Proverbs 31, which is a great passage, but is used a lot on Mother's Day. And the other is the text that we're going to be looking at today. And we'll be looking at, if I can get to my notes, The Tale of Two Sisters. I was so proud of myself after doing all my research and trying to come up with a title. I was thinking of A Tale of Two Cities and the reading of that book and thought, The Tale of Two Sisters, that is so impressive. Then on Friday, I like to check out what other pastors have done, and I went to Chuck Smith's website, and under this text, he said, The Tale of Two Sisters. And I went, what? He stole my title 2 years before I came up with it, and that. But it is reassuring to know that others see it as the same truth. We're going to talk about two sisters, both that were wonderfully loved by our Savior Jesus Christ along with their brother. They became the stopping place where he always wanted to go. When things got tough, he always wanted to go to Bethany to meet with his three friends. We're going to see that Jesus is not picking Mary over Martha. My parents said they loved each one of us equally. And you know what? I really believe they did, although I still think my mom favored me better and my dad my sister. Jesus, in this portion of Scripture, is not trying to correct Martha for who she is, but rather encouraging her to where fatigue has brought her, the stressing over many things. And as we look at these two women, we need to look at the uniqueness of their personalities. Do you know that God made you just special? And who you are is special to him. He's not trying to change who we are basically. He wants to use it for his glory. And so we should have very healthy self-image, especially as we look at these two sisters. He loves them both. He does encourage Martha because she has missed a very important point. But in fact, he does it to encourage her, to help her with the stress that she's feeling, not to put her down. So oftentimes when a message is preached on this, it's Mary is the wiser, brighter daughter and Martha not. And that's not the case. Before we look at these two sisters, so I'd like for you to take a moment and think of this next week. We'll try not to stress you out, so don't think too long. But what is your first, most important, main priority? That thing that you really want to accomplish more than anything this week. Think about it for a minute. As you look forward, or look back on last week, what was the one thing you knew that if you accomplished it, you had accomplished it well? Got it in mind? The scripture tells us that the greatest priority, the best thing we can do for ourselves, which is seen in the Westminster Catechism, shorter catechism, that we might glorify God and enjoy him forever. God says that if you use that as the fulcrum of your life and balance everything with that in the center, you will live a well-balanced life. You will find peace. You will find satisfaction for your life. If that gets off center, it is non-existent, then you won't find peace in your life. So we are seeing is the importance of spending that time glorifying God, worship, learning from him, and sharing that personal relationship with him. That, when that's focal, when that's our first priority, our lives will come into balance. And we'll see that illustrated in the lives of the two women that Jesus loved. The psalmist David would say it differently. He would say in the 27th Psalm, verse 4, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." What did they do at the house of the Lord? It was tabernacle before the temple. They went there to worship God, to spend time with him, to be reminded that he was very present with them. With them present there, you had to go there to experience the fullness of that presence. But for us, it's his presence is with us continually. He dwells within. We're the temple. So the psalmist says that I might worship God in his house all the days of my life. Not once a year, not every other year, but every day. And to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple, to simply look at who God is. Rejoice in who he is. And then to inquire, ask him questions. God, why is this happening? What's the way out? Where's the direction? Spending time with God is the highest priority. And again, if it's the fulcrum point, everything in life will come into balance, regardless of the personality and the person you are. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And we'll read through 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Things, her own ambitions, her own desires for perfection, which is not a bad thing, but it got in the way of what she could be doing with Christ by much serving. And she went up to the Lord and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, get off my back." She's actually being very rude to him. Here she wanted to give him the very best. He's the Messiah. He's the teacher. He's coming to my house. I want everything to be perfect for him. But the distractions and the irritations have gotten to her. Now she's saying, "Hey, guy, hey, bud, get Mary to do something for me." And he comes back and says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing's necessary. Over that desire for perfection, over that desire to be doing and doing them well, is something that overrides that. Mary's doing that. I say that not because she's better than you. I'm saying that she has learned that time spent with me at my feet is more valuable than the house that you provide, the food that you provide. But one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her and them. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now, neither one of these young ladies, at least while Christ ministered, had children. They were not mothers. Martha, by tradition and inferred in this because she has a house, was married and then widowed. And at that time with the home, she brought Lazarus to come and live with her, her brother, and Mary, her younger sister. So we would see that Mary very likely, at least at this point, has not married and is at home living with Martha together in the home. So the advice is not directed just to moms. It's directed to all of us, men, women, older children, young. It's interesting, though, as we look at this, that the home was something that seemingly was that which Martha spent a lot of time trying to honor others, honor God with. It was important. It was hers, and she wanted to use it as an outreach to ministry. That's why she brings an itinerant pastor into her home to teach. We see in John's gospel, along about the 11th chapter, the resurrection of Lazarus, and that it's a strange change in title Bethany is when we look at Mary, because it says that Bethany was the town of Mary. So the home was Martha's, and she took care of that. The town was Mary's. Now, if we want to do a little injustice to the situation, we could say that Mary was the belle of the Beauty and the Beast story. Bonjour, bonjour. Heart for books, heart for learning. That was important to her. She had people skills. Everybody in town knew Mary. Martha, they knew of. Uniquely quiet, uniquely doing her ministry. Mary was the in-your-face exuberant one, the one out there. She was the one that was loved relationships. Which is the better personality? Neither is better. They're both great. Do we need doers to do things for the Lord? We certainly do. Do we need people that have those people skills to reach out and create an environment? Of course we do in that. There's nothing wrong with either of their personalities in that. It's just that Mary was a people person and Martha more practical, more works-oriented. We would see some of the similarities in the resurrection of Lazarus. Remember that Jesus delayed for 4 days, knowing that Lazarus would die. On the way there, the disciples said, how do you think we'll find Lazarus? And he said, he's sleeping. And they said, oh, that's good. If he's sick, he should sleep. So it says Jesus very directly said, Lazarus died. And then in their minds, they're going, he's your best friend. You're the healer. Why didn't you go there? Martha and Mary would have the same question. In fact, as Jesus approached, it's Martha that goes out first. Pragmatic, practical Martha comes to Christ and says, Lord, if you had been here, you would have healed our brother and he would not have died. I look at the facts and that's what I come up with. And Jesus would dialogue with her to help her practical nature by saying, Lazarus, your brother, will rise again. And Martha says, well, thanks, Lord, but I do know that he'll rise again in the resurrection. And Jesus says, no, Martha, I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you believe that, Martha? And Martha, in her practical way of thinking through, says, he is the Messiah. He has healed the sick. He can heal the dead. And she says, I believe it. And she marches home to see what Jesus is going to do. She gets home and runs in and catches Mary and says, "Hey, the master wants to see you." And Mary leaves and runs to Jesus. Same response: "Jesus, if you had been here, if you'd just been here, he would have been alive." She, being the more emotional, personal person, doesn't ask questions about resurrection in that. She simply, begins to cry. And Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, be practical here, you people person, you emotional person." The others with her start to cry, and what does Jesus do? He doesn't chide or chasten or try to teach her resurrection truth as he did with Martha. He wept with her. John 11:35, used to use it to get out of trouble when mom said to learn a verse. Jesus wept. You see, he loved both women and he knew how to speak into their lives differently. And in the end, the resurrection for both. These are special women. So the problem is not with the person. It's with the actions and the fact that Martha, in that day that she was serving the Lord, got so cumbered with things that she didn't take time to glorify in Christ and sit at his feet and learn. Her complaint to Jesus: "Mary's sitting at your feet. Send her out and help her. You're enabling her. For goodness sakes, I'm about worn out. I'm about done in." It actually says of Mary that Mary also sat at the feet of the Lord, which means she did something besides. Mary did help Martha serve. But it was different. Martha was the Martha Stewart of that day. Her dinner parties were something to go to. So I see it and I realize, you know, they didn't have refrigerators and I don't know how they did on lettuce and all those things. But just to help us understand, Martha would say, "Mary, I need some help here. Get the salad ready. Already taken care of, Martha." Already taken care of, that was sure quick. Goes to the refrigerator and there's lettuce. You call this a salad? Where are the tomatoes? Where are the cucumbers? Where are the garbanzo beans? You only have a jar of Kraft that's been open for a week and we can make our own. What are you thinking? But Mary could say, "Well, I helped her. Now I'm back doing what I like to do at the feet of Christ." "Mary, I need help. Set the table. I already took care of it. Let me check this out. Styrofoam plates and plastic forks? Mary, for goodness sakes, what are you thinking?" And somehow in wanting to present to Christ the very best gift that she could, she got irritated with the things and with her sister that didn't seem to see the value in them, so much so that she took on the Lord. And the Lord brings her back to the point of saying, "Martha, I know who you are. I know the things are important. I know you get stressed out over them. But relax. Spend time with me. I can eat a chopped salad without tomatoes and cucumbers. I can eat on styrofoam. Because the whole focal point of your life should be our time together. I'm here to be with you. And I respect what you're doing, and it will always be better than any other house I visit. But don't forget, in the numerous challenges to your time, to still have time with me." Mary did well, and it's of eternal blessing. If you want to stress less, make sure that you have time in relationship with God daily. And that I've had a challenge. Always have had the practice when I would get here, I'd try to get here early to have devotions. But it's been just a crazy few months in that. So I get here and I get sidetracked and then I find out that I'm doing devotions just before I fall asleep. And I like to start the day off with them. And so I thought, what could change? I want to have that time with the Lord. What could change? And then the Lord told me what could change. And I went, "No, not that. what a sacrifice you're asking of me. You want me to give up the news that I watch with my coffee to spend time with you? Oh my goodness, how will I know what's happening and whether you're coming back or not? And so I decided that if I wanted my balance in life, I needed to give up the news. I watch it and tape it for 6 o'clock or later. And I've been reading a most wonderful book on doctrine. I keep saying From Eternity to Eternity, but that's not the title. What is, Ray, what's the title of that book that you gave me? Or Sherry, you told me the Big Picture. Yeah. It's a wonderful book of doctrine. That. So I start off the day with that. And then I do a couple devotionals, and then I do some prayer time, and I am pumped and ready to go to work. You see, it's so easy for things to come in and take us away from what's really important by way of priority. Even in doing good things as Martha was doing, she neglected in having time with the Lord that came to love her and be with her. I chose this because it's Mother's Day and mothers have the greatest challenge because of all the demands. Parenting. Dads, you have the challenge too. I remember the days when we would go, we had the four kids. John was just a thought still, but they were in soccer and baseball and all those things. We got one of those old round thermoses. You remember those big ones about like that, held water. We filled it with boiling water and put hot dogs in it, and that was our lunch on those weekends. And it was running from one game to the next game. Now I'm a grandparent, and I find that it doesn't get any easier. These things don't end because we're spending all this time running and that. Life is complicated. Life is busy. When we're at work, life is complicated. Life is busy. There are so many challenges that come in. We, with all the appliances and all the tools and all the things to make our life easier, are still struggling with the fact that there's not enough time. If God had just made it a 40-hour day, it'd be so much better. But you know what? We would fill it with things. And filling it with things and doing things for God, for our family and others, is not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But if we lose that focal point in our life of glorifying God and enjoying Him, we're off balance. And when we're off balance, we'll get a little crusty, a little ornery, a little grumpy. But when we center in on He who loves us and spend time with Him, the day will go better. And He'll help us sort through the stress, and He'll let us find out what really is most important today to do. And it may surprise us. It may be to take our kids to the park or our grandkids to the park when we thought we needed to do something else. But I won't know that if I don't spend time with my Jesus. There are three types of people that the scripture relates to. There are the people like Mary, not speaking of her people skills and her emotions, but people that know how people who know how to serve, but also how to sit at Jesus' feet. There are people like Martha, not that she was a doer, but those who diligently and with the best intentions serve God, but without adding the one thing, a continued focus on Jesus. And it results in frustration. But then there's the third group, and there are people who aren't doing either, and they're not even in the house with Jesus, for they're too busy with their own pursuits to see the value. May we calculate the value of that time and let that be what all the other things of life balance on. And we'll find peace and joy, and we will be able to glorify God and enjoy Him. Monthly, yes, but daily. May that be our determination. Moms, thanks for being moms. You're doing an impossible task, but you do it beautifully well. We will afterwards, some teens have some flowers. If you're a person of the feminine gender, sorry guys, you're out. we want you to take a flower home and celebrate this day that God has created women, which we celebrate. If you're moms, you can take two, okay? But we love you all. Let's pray. Father, let us keep our balance in life by keeping you the focal point within it. Let us learn to glorify you in fellowship, in worship, in knowledge. And let us learn from your word that guides us. And in their doing, let us just continue to enjoy you and our relationship with you. For we ask in Christ's name. Amen.